and there was a firefight!
Why did you judge me?
You killed innocent people.
The means to an end.
You started a massacre.
I caused the revolution.
You betrayed the law!
I see you are practiced in worshipping things that fly.
Hulkamania is running wild like it's never ran before.
It's over 9,000!
What?
Rise before Zod.
Bitches leave.
Kneel before Zod.
Cowabunga!
This is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh?
Remember, there's always madness. Madness is the emergency exit.
Here it comes! A little going away
All
present
right,
everyone,
for you. Welcome to Capes and Scowls, episode number 19. I'm Leander.
I'm Lou.
And I'm Tim.
That was good.
All right.
There it is.
Woohoo!
It's kind of cool that we're up to episode 19 already.
Yeah,
we've
the
been
new
really
52.
Cranking these out, yeah.
And we're together again, guys.
And we're together
finally.
Again.
The three of us in one room.
That's rare.
Got a lot of feedback that people, while they enjoy us separately, they just really love us together.
Aww.
Yeah, and I love us together, too.
I love us together, too.
Although, I gotta say, I did listen to the last episode without myself on it, with just Tim and Leander, and your points about the Iceman story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to rehash it again, because this will be the third episode in a row we've talked about
uh-huh.
it. But, holy shit, man, you knocked it out of the park. I was like, in my car, I was like, preach on, brother! I was like... Because it's the kind of thing I could see both sides of the story or whatever until I heard your remarks about it. And I was just like, you know what? Leander.
Yeah.
It's a home run. So everyone check out episode 18 if you haven't already, because this guy.
Wow. It was all because of Lou. I don't think any of us would have known about it, actually, if it wasn't for you. I didn't know about it at all.
Yeah. Well.
I saw it, but it was way too late after the fact. Like, I wouldn't have noticed it in time. I'd been like, what's this Iceman crap?
Yeah.
Skip.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't have even clicked on it to know what the hell the problem was.
The debate was. And maybe... The
problem
maybe,
was? How you said
debate. The debate.
The problem. I'm saying it's a problem?
No, I mean, what everybody's problem was, is what I meant.
Right.
Well, if anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, just listen to the last episode.
Yeah.
Ice boners.
Mm. Ice boners.
Ice boners. No, not Bring ice boners. Age of Derivative.
Yeah, oh, well, he was
listen
just
to,
saying...
Listen to both.
Listen to both podcasts if you want to know what we're talking about.
Subscribe to us on iTunes. Make it easy.
Most of you should already know, because I'm sure you've already listened to it, so...
Yeah.
But for those few out
first
there that
timers.
Haven't listened to it, the first timers.
We'll be gentle.
We always are.
Let's do our plug fest of what we got. We have our Facebook. We're on YouTube. Our website is capesandscowlspodcast.com. If you want to get in touch with us, our email is capesandscowlspodcast@gmail.com. I have a Twitter that I don't say wrong all the time, but I think I do, which is @mad_dog_Tim.
Underscore.
Without the
slash
underscore. Don't mess it up. He did it perfectly.
Well, now he can never do it right.
So there's that. We have a lot of good friends that do podcasting. There's... Superliminal Films, which does Poor Man's Process, Memoirs of the Macabre.
Good podcast.
Very fun. I've been on it. Lou's been on it. Leander, they want you.
Okay.
They want you.
We should do like a crossover. Like we're all
Ultimate.
On it. Like the whole Superliminal Films crew and all three of us.
Lou.
Just
funny. And Ryan.
Predating the New 52.
Mm-hmm.
That did happen. So we could do it again.
That was in the old school stuff.
And they've come
Wars
real far.
Happened twice. Why can't that happen?
We've
That's
come
true.
Real far. So
That's
yeah,
true.
It'll be great. We'll redo it. And
I'm way funnier now than I was.
I agree. You've never been funny, and now look at you. And also Ryan Young has a podcast that we've been on a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Hates Movies, which is part of our family.
We've all done that, right? Lou, have you done
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've all done that one.
First repeat guest right here.
Yeah. Well played.
Ryan hates movies.
So that's a fun one.
Yeah.
So how is everybody? Leander, I'm looking at you. You're across from me.
Man.
What do you got?
Every time. I have to
All right, Lou,
first.
How are you, Lou?
I'm really good, Tim.
You're excited.
I'm really excited. The best thing happened to me
other day. Oh, boy.
So I was, maybe some of you are familiar with a little game called Magic the Gathering.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. So I don't get to play that much. I'm a busy guy. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a busy guy.
You are a busy guy.
But I had a free night the other week where I didn't have anything to do. And I was like, you know what? Let me dust off this old Magic Online. So if you don't know, Magic Online is kind of like Poker Online. You can just play Magic Online. And sometimes it costs money, but sometimes they give you a bunch of free tickets to play these, like, they call them phantom events, where you don't get to keep the digital cards. Uh-huh. So you can just play with these free tickets that they gave you and, like, do a tournament or whatever. And it's pretty cool. So I rarely do this. Mm-hmm. I play maybe, I don't know, once every 3 months. Mm-hmm. I'll just go online and be like, ah, I'm not doing anything. I'll play some Magic Online. So I did that the other night, and the first game of the first match I won, and I was like, hey, all right, I'm doing okay. So the guy starts harassing me.
On the like, very first game that you won.
The very
won.
First game. It's best of three. You play the right. best of three in every round. Mm-hmm. So we're not even out of the first game yet. And the guy just starts messaging me and abusing me verbally.
Really?
And I saw what was happening. And at first, like, you know, I'm like, oh, what's this guy? I was getting mad. But then I was like, wait a sec. This is the age of, like, I can just copy the screen and, like, save this conversation. So I'm just going to keep this dude going for as long as I can.
Okay.
And it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
The magic troll.
Yeah. So I think what we should do is,
mm-hmm.
I think we should do a dramatic rereading of my encounter with this guy.
Sure.
And we only know this guy by his anonymous internet magic online pseudonym, which is Gary_Crackhour. Mm. He likes the underscore, Tim.
I'm a fan of him.
Which may or may not be his real name.
Yeah, no, we don't know. This could be his complete... just his handle. That's his handle. He uses for online gaming.
Yeah.
Gary_Crackhour.
That's right. That's not a real name.
That can only be a handle. So we don't know what Gary_Crackhour's real name is. He is completely anonymous.
He's completely anonymous at this point. Correct. That's correct. If he wants to email us, he can.
Yeah, no, we'll read that.
At CajunScaladsPodcast@gmail.com.
So the first thing I did after this, like, I took the screenshot, I posted it on the Magic group that I'm in on Facebook, which is a lot of guys from the comic book store at 30 North Main Street in Glassboro, New Jersey. And
he beat me to it.
So apparently someone Googled the name, and there is a Gary Crackhour with no underscore who may have been a Canadian Magic player
and
won a couple of high level tournaments or something. But we don't know if this is the same guy.
I don't want to go out on a limb and say
that Gary underscore Crackhour is the same as the 2-time Canadian champion, Gary Crackhour.
Right.
Because I don't want to jump to any conclusions in this day and age.
Right. Probably not.
In this era of data mining and internet and not anonymity, we don't want to point any fingers unjustly.
All right. So you're saying someone needs to be Gary underscore Kraken.
Yes. Someone should play the part of Gary underscore Crackhour. Mm-hmm.
And someone should play the role of Lou, or are you Lou?
I don't want to be Lou. I want to be Gary underscore Crackhour.
Okay.
Because this poor, like, typing, like, that's done, I feel needs to be read, like, in a Russian accent. Because that's just the sense I got off it.
Okay.
Even though regular Gary Crackhour
is Canadian,
right, who is probably not the same as this guy.
Right.
This
guy probably not likely.
Is definitely...
All right. Well, who's doing what? Who's role-playing?
You guys have to fight for the part of me.
It's up to you. I mean, I'll do it.
You're not fighting hard enough. I'll do it. I don't care. I expected a little more punch.
Well, you know, brother, I want to be Lou.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, jeez.
I'm going to read it the way I want to.
Oh, my gosh. All right, I don't do voices, so there you go.
Oh, you don't do voices? Okay.
No.
We tried to do a Leander voice when you weren't here.
Did
Tim
try
to do a Leander voice.
I failed, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he just did a weird high-pitched laugh.
I'm like, that's not right at all.
That's not right at all.
At least I admitted it was wrong. All right, so how big is this script?
There's three pages of this. This guy just kept going. He just kept going on and on.
What voice would you like me to do?
I don't. However you think I felt when I typed this to Gary underscore Crackhour.
Hold on, let me tighten up my anus. There we go. All right.
That's you need to
a little
get my
clench, a little clench.
Yeah, get my high white guy voice.
Yes.
That may not be why I gave it to Tim. Like I don't handle
like I don't do white people voices.
I don't do white voices.
Way too black.
It is impossible. It's impossible for to cross the voices.
Never cross the voices.
Never cross the voices.
It's like streams. You don't do it.
All right. I'm ready, guys. Here we go. It's about to get serious.
All right. So I'm gonna be.
So Lou's at home on his computer typing away.
Just
and,
typing.
And just moving magic just cards
say,
around.
Whoa, look at me. I won a game for once in my life. He's but happy. No, Gary underscore Krakauer is not gonna let that shit slide.
No.
So he starts out. Right. This is 10:09 p.m.
I'm in character.
Well, ma'am, your top decking offsets your play errors, it seems.
Oh, thanks, Dad.
I appreciate your trying to be witty. I always applaud effort when people try.
Oh, was that a mistake when I played that land? Maybe you could link me to your blog.
You made about 6 basic play errors. No secret who I am or what I made in Magic and then in poker. Heh. So while I like that you are trying to use what you believe to be clever sarcasm.
Cool. Make a webcast and send me a link. I'll make sure to watch it later.
I would have to use smaller words and a new one first.
And then I'll send you a check.
If I do that, you will be the first to know. Always appreciate those efforts. Oh, this side note, this is after I beat him in the entire match.
Yeah.
Always appreciate those efforts. Have a nice day, ma'am. And thanks for your attempts at wit as well. Was amusing to watch a beginner.
I guess you made your fortune getting salty in Phantom Events. Good luck with that.
Oh, another side note. In the Magic community, if someone's being a little bitch when you beat them, you say they're being salty. That's the lingo. So I wasn't just coming out of left field with a salty.
Oh, okay.
That's your based salt in... content is high.
That was not off script. He's going off book. You're off book.
Oh.
Wait, where are we at here?
We're right here.
Okay. I made 17 million being salty in other areas. Phantom Events I do for free to amuse the common people. How do you feel about it, to be blunt?
Thanks, man. I was about to go to bed early.
Not really all that significant. Thanks for the update on being mundane.
I'll bill you.
Most people are, and nothing wrong with that. I already give to enough charities.
That is my favorite part.
It's gonna be a rough winter. Gonna need that salt.
This is the best part.
Oh, geez.
Yes, I appreciate that in your attempt to be spicy, you could only think of salt instead of peppering something else with some heat. Again, mundane, gonna mundane. Congrats on the phantom points. Better luck with being clever in the future. This chat was a bye. Heh. See ya.
What? Oh my goodness. That was ridiculous.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was actually really awesome.
When this was happening, I was shaking with excitement. I was like, this is too good. It's too good. Apparently a couple guys from the group said he's like... people posted conversations with him on Reddit, and he's, like, the legendary, like, salt guy.
So, in the urban phrases, we like to say haters are going to hate.
Yes.
He said mundane
gonna mundane. Wow, putting a spin on it.
That's awesome.
I don't know. Maybe he's really a millionaire.
Maybe.
Well. Good for him. I mean,
he's got money.
Whoever this underscore guy is, this totally anonymous person, maybe it's a bot. Maybe it's not even real.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, if you're a friend of Gary underscore
Krakauer.
Or know him, or are him.
Yeah, call. Oh, we should interview
Please
him.
Please email us at capesandscalespodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, we would love to interview him. We would love to interview how, you. About the other areas he was salty in yes. to make his $17 million.
And also clarify if that is truly your accent.
So yeah, can we have the Canadian do the Russian? Has to be. Who talks like that?
The heh is the best part. How do you... Every time I saw it in yeah. the script, I was yeah. already laughing. Because I realized, once you did it once, I'm like, this is going to keep happening. This
oh, yeah. No like, secret what I made in poker.
Oh, jeez.
It's like a hairball.
It was a hairball.
Give me a minute. No, the dog doesn't like the
dog does
the
not
crack
like
hour voice.
Look, he's coming to check on you.
All right. That was good. That was good, Lou. That was good. That was worth it.
Yay, that's, I won.
You know, I got to say, overall, my experience playing Magic has been 90% positive. I've met some really awesome people. Mm-hmm. But, you know, these are the guys who ruin it for everybody. You know, mm-hmm. like if you're the reason why I was afraid to tell anyone in high school that I fucking played Magic was like, oh, you're one of those people. No, it's cool. Most people are cool now. Mm-hmm. Some people aren't.
No. There's a lot of people that aren't.
Yeah, there's a
there's
lot
of people. Okay. Maybe I got rainbow glasses on here. Because glasses. I mean,
there's
the
a lot of people
overcame,
that
but...
there's a lot of people that aren't cool, but they're still going to treat you with more respect than that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't it's the, just barely, yes, but true. Like, ooh, I'm a big man on the internet behind my screen.
That's pretty
like,
sad.
You just can't talk. Like, that's published.
Yeah.
You know?
That's unfortunate. You can wonder how old this person is as well, you know?
Yeah.
You hope they're not that older version of the real version of that name, because that's a sad state of affairs.
But, I mean, and it's not just, like, Magic or gaming or nerd stuff. It's, like, people just get mean online.
Yeah,
like,
they do.
With everything. Yeah. With, every industry. Oh, yeah. Everyone's got an opinion. Yeah. Everyone's a pro when they're, you know... posting on Reddit or on their own, you know.
Well, it's easy to be a bully behind the screen, too.
It is.
So.
It is, I think.
Face-to-face is a whole different story.
I think if you're going to be a bully, you need to be a bully everywhere. Just be consistent, man. Go beat people up or something. And try.
And fail miserably.
Yeah. Like, no one... And that's another thing online. Like, I've almost never had anyone talk to me like that in real life. Like, you gotta have some balls to be like, you made 5 mistakes. And it's like, get off me, dog. Like, we're turning cardboard sideways. Like, let's take a step back here.
It's not that serious. Not that serious.
It's super serious. Yes. It's very, very serious. Yeah. So, Gary Krakauer...
With underscore Krakauer. We can't say. We don't know who this person is.
Anybody who may or may not be Gary Krakauer with underscores or not. You're more than welcome to come on to our podcast and play Lou live.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So you get in touch with us.
That's a great idea.
CapesandScalesPodcast@gmail.com. We'll take care of you. We'll get you out here.
No, we can get him. He's got $17 million.
He can fly himself.
He can fly. We're not paying for that.
All right, well, if you want to fly Lou up to Canada to play you.
He's got everything to prove. Remember, I want. Mm-hmm. He's got everything to
That's
prove.
That's true.
So he needs to fly here. I'm going to buy no plane tickets
Currently
Gary underscore Krakauer.
The loser and a loser currently without...
I don't know if you can say that. Now we're in legal. Wait, you know about legal stuff.
Yeah, but I don't know who this Gary underscore Krakauer
That's right.
Is.
You're right. We're saying that a completely fictional person is a legal.
I just want to film it, make a montage out of it. Maybe Lou turns his hat behind him. And he's
What are they playing
at
Over the Top with Stallone? Yep. Like whatever music they used for that.
You flip it. And...
Turn that mountain sideways.
Trucker hat.
Yeah.
Burn spell.
We'll add crowd noises. Oh, this is a great idea.
That'd be good. All right.
Well, that's going to happen.
That's definitely going to happen.
And even if you're not Gary Krakauer, just pretend you are. Like,
yes.
Because this idea is too good.
Nice.
Very good. Well, we'll have someone who is Gary, perhaps underscore.
Playing the part of Gary underscore Krakauer.
This is not the real Gary Krakauer.
It might not
be. Well, the real Krakauer actually says, I'm going to be a part of this. And
that would be awesome.
That
would be great.
I hope he's got as much money as the fake Gary Krakauer says he has. He could be our sponsor.
Yeah, he could.
Fantastic.
We could go on tour playing each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the old
Take it on the road.
Lincoln and debates. Back of a train. He went from city to city playing magic on the back of a coal car. Oh, what? Let's move on.
No. Let's make that happen. That's a great idea.
Now let's move on.
Gods are
the
all
capes
sooty.
And scowls train. That's the next
for our logo. Can't even get a t-shirt yet.
A train wrap. We need a really ambitious graphic designer. We need a train wrap. What do you got? What do you got for me? No one's done it. There's not billboards on the sides of trains
yet. It's coming.
They go pretty quick. You'd have to really figure out how to space it out so your eye can catch it.
Oh, it could be like a flip book. Like, as the train goes by, it's like an animated, like, us. Like,
I need partying. To slow down and see how this train, how's this end?
People are getting accidents trying to, like, follow the train and shit.
Don't go into that room.
Why it's the Capes and Skells cartoon train. Yeah. Everyone follow it. There's cars driving on the tracks.
It's like an hour long.
Just causing chaos in every city it passes through. It was like,
we thought it was a great idea.
Yeah, massive car pileups distract the drivers.
It's in the CIA after. I was like, what the hell were you guys doing? You're a terrorist.
Like, you signed off on this. You put a cartoon on the side of a train.
We thought it would be okay.
But you get stuck at the train.
Yeah, that would be cool. Then you're watching a little movie and you're sitting waiting for the train to pass by.
Yeah, there you go. So Amtrak, get in touch with us. Caves and Scales Podcast at Gmail.
Oh, man.
Anywho.
Yes.
Let's move on. That was a lot of gold, so let's drag it right down into the box. Let's do that, and let's talk. Lou, have you seen Avengers yet?
No.
Oh, boy. All right.
Has Leander?
I have.
Oh, you have? I knew I was going to be the only one who hadn't seen it.
All right,
man,
well.
I'm too busy.
I'll talk about this in a non-spoilerly kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And just don't ask me questions. I won't be forced to answer them.
Yeah. I did read an article about that I want to talk about after you...
Well, let's see if they're related. They've confirmed characters that are going to be in Captain America 3 Civil War.
Okay.
Mm.
So, and it's a ton of people confirmed to be in it. So, this I'll just go down the characters.
Sure.
Obviously, Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
Scarlet Witch. Black Widow. War Machine. Vision. Iron Man. Hawkeye. Winter Soldier. Crossbones. Sharon Carter. Black Panther, Ant-Man, Thunderbolt Ross, bringing him back from the Ed Norton movie.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, same actor. Well,
yep.
Oh, yeah?
Same. Yeah. Yeah, I'm blanking on his name. I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that.
that guy.
And they've added two new people to the cast. Daniel Brühl, which he's announced that he's going to be Baron Zemo.
Okay.
And then Martin Freeman, who played Bilbo Baggins, is going to be a character, but we don't know who yet.
Wow. That's impressive.
He's a good actor.
He could be a great Moon Knight, I'm just saying.
Tiny little just, you can put him in a, you're in a role where he's got to wear a black mask.
Yeah, no, I'm doubting he'll be a character in a mask. But they've already started filming. A lot of the filming will take place in Atlanta, and then they're going to go to Iceland, Germany, and Puerto Rico. So
nice.
They're going all over the globe in this one.
I want to get on that movie.
That just sounds like Avengers 2.5.
It really does.
And honestly, that's what a lot of the comments were.
Yeah. Which is fine. I mean, who cares?
At this point, all the characters are out. You gotta use them.
Just titling it Civil War, you knew this was probably less about Cap individually and more about scenarios.
Sure,
you're setting up for ultimately every payoff comes to the last Avenger movie.
Sure.
So.
Right.
I don't know.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
How do you feel about them confirming all those characters?
I'm cool. I'm excited. I mean, there's really nothing more to say. I mean, we saw the Avengers. We knew they were coming. I thought you were just going to say all the new Avengers names, but you said a lot more than that. So
right. That was the thing. Like, I was just expecting that
Scarlet
group
Witch and Falcon and War Machine. But I'm excited. I'm excited because I didn't want to wait for the next Avengers movie to see those characters, the new Avengers, start to try and be Avengers.
Yeah. So, I could go into more detail, but I won't because Lou hasn't seen it.
Sure.
So,
and Lou has something he said he had to talk about.
No, I saw someone post an article on the Facebook talking about, like, exactly what we're doing now. We're, like, kind of the situation of modern, like, pop cinema is people being more excited for the movies that are coming out next than the movies that are actually out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I haven't even seen Avengers 2 yet, and I'm like, whoa, all those characters? Like, I don't even know what happens. Right. And I'm more excited about Captain America 3 right. than I am about... I mean, I'm excited. I want to get there. I want to see it. But it's like, that's... I mean, then there's some merit to that argument where it's like, wow, the speculation machine is almost more important than what actually is happening in the movies.
Yeah, but it still drives the sales, ultimately. That's, by the whole speculation getting excited about it, the next one drives the sale. For when the next one comes out, there's even more people that watch it.
I know. And so, I mean, I think it's good to, like, obviously I'm a fan and excited about that. But I think sometimes you kind of, like, take a step back, too, and be like, wow, this is, like, incredibly corporate. You know, like, this is, like, this is the corporate juggernaut at, like, full swing. Getting people excited for things that aren't going to happen for 4 years, maybe? That's effective.
Yeah, that's good.
So, and it's... And another point of the article was that to keep that machine moving, to spend the money that it takes to keep producing these, like, blockbuster epics, well, that's a lot of other types of movies that aren't getting made. That's, you know, indie films that are not getting financed, the article mentioned rom-coms, but I was like, why would you say that? Like, who cares if a rom-com gets made, right? Can't you just
There's been so many rom-coms in the past couple of years.
You know what the hell a rom-com is?
Romantic comedy.
Oh,
okay.
You know, 40-somethings trying to figure out who they are in their life. They make a lot of penis jokes. Paul Rudd's in all of them. He's an man. What do you want?
Yeah, used to be Tom Hanks. Now it's Paul Rudd.
Yeah, it really is.
But, so, I mean, there's some merit to that argument in that... it's not, and someone in the article also compared it to an interview with George Clinton when he was on the same record label with Michael Jackson, where Michael Jackson was selling, you know, making $30 million a year for the record company or something. And it's like, well, how many other artists are getting ignored by the labels because this one, you know, flagship artist is keeping the studio afloat? And that's kind of like the same situation. It's like, how much money that the Marvel movies are making, like, are their creative works going unmade because everyone's worried about what's going to happen in, like, goddamn 2017
or unnoticed
with Marvel, you know? And I think that's something that, while we all love this stuff, I think that's something that needs to be said also, and it's a valid point.
You are right. I would have to look into it, though. Like, what is on Disney's plate? What is Lucasfilms? What is Marvel? Because they have so much money and so many franchises. Like, if they wanted to, they could be like, all right, we made a bazillion dollars with Frozen. Let's turn that into Marvel movies. All right, we made all this Avenger money. Let's turn that into Star Wars. And then we make Star Wars money and we can do whatever we want for the rest of our lives.
Right.
Yeah.
In theory.
Yeah. So. I mean, and they're... Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, they could... When you have that much power... Like, Disney could just decide and be like, we're going to do quirky indie films for all of 2020 decade. And, like, and those are the new superhero movies.
That would be cool, though.
That would be cool. Like, they could literally just... Well, you need the popular support, but, like, you could just cram it down people's throats until, like, oh, that's the next thing.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And at this point... And it's like how Iron Man was just, like, the Hail Mary movie for Marvel. Because the Iron Man 1, because they were losing money... to Fox making X-Men movies and Sony making Spider-Man movies, and they're like, well, we still have Iron Man, let's make an Iron Man movie. And it was a smash hit. If that movie had tanked, none of this happens. None of it. Alternate timeline, ultimate universe, we only have X-Men movies, and Tobey Maguire is still Spider-Man something, you know? So that's interesting too. Think about that.
Spider-Man 7,
Spider-Harder. A good day to Spider. That's a Die Hard reference.
I like it.
Oh, my other voice idea for Gary _ Crack Hour was Alan Rickman from Die Hard. How about that? You are trying to be witty. Is that a good Alan Rickman?
You work on it.
Snaping it up. I gotta work on my Snape.
Yeah.
I always applaud effort. Not quite.
We'll work on it. We'll do an alternate mini-sode where we do it in different voices. I'll do a different one for you.
Oh, yeah, that would be good. Yeah,
we could just release mini-sode every, like, month of, like, us doing this conversation with different voices.
Yeah. Mickey and Minnie.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. You're so salty.
Oh, gosh. So, what's the next news? Next news.
Donald Duck. He's going to do the Donald Duck part.
I'm trying, people. I'm trying, and they're not listening. I'm trying.
Cat, we're sorry, Cat.
The news. Jeez.
Joss Whedon left Twitter again.
Oh, who? I heard something about this. Yeah.
Joss Whedon, the guy who directed Avengers or wrote Avengers or did everything Marvel ever.
He wrote Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which is his only thing I don't like. Firefly. What about everything? He's done
a lot of stuff. He's made lesser properties into amazing things, and now he's the juggernaut behind all this Marvel stuff.
He left Twitter.
He left Twitter again for the second time in like 3 years, and everybody thought it was because it was feminists that were like, Lou, I'm sorry. I'm going to try to do this without spoiling things because they got mad about something in the Avengers.
Okay. All right.
Basically, there's a scene, and I'll try to do this in the most non-spoilerly way. It's a dialogue between Mark Ruffalo and Scarlett Johansson, where he's saying he's such a monster, and she's like, well, I'm a monster too, I can't have children, was a reveal with her. And people took that, the militant feminist kind of people were like, oh, you said she's a monster because she can't have children, and then they like attacked his Twitter. When that was not the point of the scene, the point was, you know, they made me a monster. They took that away from me to make me a monster, where there was no focus on me having kids. That was a distraction that was not going to happen.
So I will say I had some feels when that statement was made.
Yeah,
that's absolutely. All I'm gonna say. I didn't dig any deeper into it.
No, at the time, it's really, but I did have a feeling. Words.
Yeah, I did have a feeling about it. It was a really tough.
So a lot of people said that's why he left. He made a statement that's pretty much asinine. Mm-hmm. He said, "I left because I need to be in a quiet place where I don't hear all this rambling, so I can focus and do what I'm supposed to be doing." Right. Which is essentially what he said. He goes, "I don't know why I went back on Twitter now when I'm in the middle of these big projects for everybody."
Sure.
Because it's just taking away and distracting and pissing me off, ultimately. Right, wrong, or indifferent doesn't matter. It's too big of a distraction, so he left again.
That's fair. Well, I would leave sometimes if I needed to. But if you need some mental space, you don't have time to listen to this.
I mean, he's got a lot of money. Like, if I was in his position, I would just hire a comedian to run my Twitter. I would get, like, Patton Oswalt or something to, like, just respond to all these crackpots, you know what I mean?
Just like Gary_Pack.
I get it. I don't know how anyone who is as busy as he does even has time to read Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, I would figure really his secretary is like, the feminists are bashing you again. He's like, I made Buffy. What do they want? like, what more can I do? And that's it. Like writers have to have the freedom to have their characters think something that they don't think. You know what I mean? Like, that's what art is. Like, you can create a guy who has the opposite opinions of you. And then that guy or girl or whoever it is can say those things in your book or your movie or whatever. And that's their opinion. It doesn't it's not necessarily your opinion. I mean, sometimes it is, you know, but sometimes you need to create a freedom to just have someone say something that is disagreeable. Like, because otherwise, what's the point of doing any of this?
Yeah, Twitter is the ultimate double-edged sword. It's so great that Leander creates an awesome book, and I'd be like, Leander, I love your book because XYZ, and you will get it directly, and if you want to converse more with me, you can. It's so direct. But at the same time, when I'm like, Leander, you're the biggest dummy in the world, XYZ, you're going to get that too. There's just no filter.
Which means you can also address that as well.
And you can. You could be the ultimate internet troll if you wanted to. But Gary_Krakauer.
Yeah, that's like, I joked about hiring comedians, but yeah, like, Twitter is probably a full-time job for some people. Yeah. Like, busy people aren't running their own Twitters or social media, you know? You're getting someone to respond to all that.
Every so often you might do one that's original, they don't know which
one. In the age of phones, I feel like a lot more, there are people that are on there every second. There are comic writers and artists that are on there every second. Patton Oswalt is on there a lot. Patton Oswalt, everybody should follow, because his is awesome.
But that's so, I don't know. It's not even worth talking about the actual, like, content of that. Like, it's a character. Like, you have the freedom to develop your character. You know, it's not like the Hulk slapped her on the ass and said, good job out there, or something like that. Like, now get me a coffee.
Right. It's not Agent Carter.
Yeah.
That was so accurate and still so hard to watch.
And that's, Mark Ruffalo, what else did he say? Well, he talked about how, they do need more action figures for
female
characters. Yeah, for female characters. Which is definitely a good point. I mean,
it's like, always been a thing, and there's just not enough male-oriented action figure toy lines with female main characters.
Yeah.
And outside of maybe Star Wars, but Star Wars is kind of a rough example because Star Wars makes an action figure for every extra that's ever been in a movie ever.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, I think Princess Leia counts as a pretty strong female character. Yeah, sure. Yeah, she's a princess, okay, but she kicks butt.
Yeah, and
she's
still, people. And
yeah, definitely. But yeah, it's always Mark Ruffalo saying stuff like that. And he's not wrong to say it, but
no.
He needs to be making points like that because he's a bad actor.
You say that all the time. It's really funny.
But whenever I see Mark Ruffalo, he's just grandstanding on some issue. And he's like, I just feel like he's a guy, like, his acting is so, like, cardboard and, like, uninteresting. And then, like, he looks at, well, what are my other celebrity friends doing? Like, oh, they're taking issues. And he's like, I take issues, too. I'm an actor. And then he's like, we need more action figures and save the bees. Thanks, Mark Ruffalo.
Well,
You guys are Ruffalo fans.
I'm not against him. I've seen more movies I don't like with him than ones I have, but I don't think he's god awful. I like him as the Hulk. Yeah. I like Ed Norton as the Hulk too.
Yeah, I've seen worse.
Yeah, there's more.
Oh, sure.
I mean, can direct my hate so much better.
Yeah, look, all right. There's work down here.
And the bees are important, okay?
The bees are important.
Save the bees.
I buy it from, like, you know. I just don't buy it coming from him, though. Yeah. I just feel like his agent's like, it's going to make you look really good if you speak out about bees and action figures.
Sure.
And he's like, that's so unfair. It's very unfair to him. I'm sure he really believes in these things.
He's not listening. But
I know he's not listening. But people are going to be like, Mark Ruffalo is standing up for women's action figures and you're trashing him. You're sexist. Get off Twitter.
Well, that's like, exactly. Exactly right. Like, exactly what we're talking about.
Not on Twitter. So get banned.
Get on it so you can get off of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, speaking of Star Wars and female characters, made a natural segue. Who knew? Gwendolyn Christie, who is Brienne of Tarth on Game of Thrones.
Oh, cool.
She's really tall and she's big, but she is awesome.
She's big and she is awesome.
Right. Yeah.
She's awesome. That makes you a sexist. Get off Twitter.
I'm sorry. I'll get right off of it. They confirmed the role that she'll be playing, which is Captain Phasma, which is a giant chrome stormtrooper with a cape, if you've seen any of the stills.
Yeah.
She is awesome. She's really good. I don't know if you guys watch Game of Thrones. She's awesome.
She is awesome. She's awesome in Game of Thrones. The name Captain Phasma is dumb.
Yes.
It's almost too dumb for... like, Star Wars has a lot of dumb names, let's be honest. But Captain Phasma...
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
I don't know.
But at least you have a good actress on it, so that's good.
Yeah, she is so good, because she's an imposing woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
She fist fights with the men, and you're like, oh my god.
Nice.
God, that's awesome. I don't know.
This is really good.
Season 4 of Game of Thrones, but she fights the Hound.
Oh, yeah.
That was
so good.
That was insane.
So violent.
I haven't...
And don't spoil it, but like...
Yeah, I won't spoil it, but that fight is cray.
You watch that fight... And I'm like, I like both of these characters.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, they're like murdering each other. It's terrible. It was rough. It was one of the most realistic fights they had in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Because it broke down real quick into a fist fight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she was awesome.
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
I haven't started watching the new season of that yet. I don't know
if I
can.
It's okay.
It's okay. There's a lot of setup.
Things are starting to pick up now. The first episode bored me to tears, but going on from that, it's been all right. It's always a slow build and then insanity. So
yeah, that's I don't know if I can handle it emotionally. I'm too fragile right now.
I understand. Well, I got a couple quick things we can talk about here. iZombie got renewed for a second season, so people are really digging iZombie. They ask me all the time, "Is it anything like the books?" And I tell them, "Absolutely not."
the what?
but it is. It appeals to a wider audience as a comedy. It's written by the writer of Veronica Mars. So if you liked Veronica Mars, you know what you're getting. It's the same style of show, which was a good move. We got our first look at Stephen Amell as Casey Jones, and our first look at the cast photo from Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that?
I saw that.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I heard about it.
Yeah, someone in my Facebook posted that it looked like bad cosplay, and like, is this official? And I was like, that's pretty accurate. I don't. What did you think?
I mean, there's a couple things. One, it's one photo from one part of the movie, perhaps, where they're in those costumes. Like, they've already said Harley Quinn's costume's going to change a bunch of times throughout the movie. I liked Will Smith as Deadshot. I thought they actually did that correct. Do I want Will Smith? Is he my ideal person to play? No, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't insulted by the costumes. And I feel, Bruce Timm had commented, he's the guy who created Harley Quinn back at the animated series, he commented and said, is it my version? No. But am I insulted and mad about it? No. He's like, for the story to make sense, maybe she has to look like that. He goes, you can't get mad until you see it. Then you can get mad if you want to get mad. He goes, but why would I even care? He's right. Like, I'm just happy my character's endured all these years.
Yeah. So. I didn't, I'm not really familiar with the characters. Obviously, I know who Harley Quinn is. I know what Deadshot's supposed to look like. A lot of the other characters, I don't know. So therefore, I couldn't be mad because they didn't look like how I wanted them to look. But they just didn't look interesting. I'm like, this looks like, like a band or something. You know what I mean? Like they didn't.
We are the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I'm like they don't look like a bunch of superheroes. I was like, wow, I don't know these guys, but I want to because they look awesome. So awesome. I was like, this looks like a steampunk convention just got out, and I'm waiting for the subway. You know what I mean? Like I don't know. That was my original impression. Maybe it'll look better later in the movie. But
my whole thing is don't get mad or upset about one photo. Same thing with the Joker photo that came out. Like, don't get mad until you see it. Once you've seen it, get mad.
Here's they know the hype, right? So when they release that photo, they know what they're doing. It's not like they're like, all right, here's a photo. Here you go, guys. It's like, this is the first photo. People are going to make opinions based on this. So if it looks crappy on the first photo, like, that does mean something because that was an intentional release by the studio.
Sure, and they're going to probably Photoshop all that stuff out, and they're probably going to take it out and not have so many tattoos and things, and they're probably going to change it. But you know
based
what?
Based on, like, feedback, you think? Sure. Because that's an aspect I hadn't thought about. They could release a press photo
they do
and
that
be
all
like,
the time.
This got panned on the internet, so take the tattoos off Joker.
But it was the number one trend on Twitter. It was the number one story everywhere. That picture was everywhere the next day. People who weren't exposed to Suicide Squad at all now are.
Yeah.
When it's number one, when that picture shows up on Yahoo, on the news feeds, and different sites like that, CNN, I don't know, CNN, whoever.
Yahoo. Ugh.
Look, I'm saying people have emails there and things. They're going to see it when they go to do their login. That's all.
Yeah.
So I have one more story, and then we'll go into our like, one book review here.
Yeah, we can all do it together.
We can, though.
We can hold hands and review it.
So our last little news. Did you hear about what theme rides are going to be appearing at Universal theme parks in the near future?
No. Is it something to do with... Well, it's not Disney. Disney is not Universal.
No, it is not.
So, is it going to be Jurassic World ride?
That could possibly happen, because I believe Universal already has a Jurassic Park ride, which is awesome. At least when I went on it like 15 years ago.
You're saying that's a good guess.
It's a good guess, but that's not it. And that may still happen, but that's not what I'm talking about.
So I'm not completely wrong.
No, that was a good guess.
Yeah.
That could actually happen, but that's not what I'm talking about.
Tell me how good a guess it was.
Dude, it was a good guess.
Leander?
It was awesome.
I'm just not feeling it from you.
Oh, sorry.
It was a good guess.
In the Lou voice. Say it in the Lou voice.
Good guess.
All right, if you aren't going to guess, I'm just going to tell you.
No, I'm not guessing.
I guessed already. All he was right. looking at me.
Nintendo-themed
rides! Yes! Let's go! I've never been more excited about a ride. That's awesome.
I don't know.
I hate rides. I hate theme parks. I hate lines, but I will go to Universal and ride a Nintendo ride.
I don't know much more than that.
That's fine.
That's about
don't
all they
care.
Announced. That is what's on the table.
Interesting.
So we will see.
I'm there, man.
All right.
We'll have to go as a group and go on the rides and critique them on the podcast.
Yeah. We're like, like from the roller
family vacation without the family.
Yeah, we're like at the top of the roller coaster with the microphone. We're like, we're at Games of Scouser, turn the right, it's so awesome! Oh, that's cool.
All right, well, Universal.
Here we go. What do they have to do with Nintendo, though? They just got the licensing. They're just like
they're just in negotiations, I guess, for it. Yeah, like Universal is the one with, I believe, Back to the Future ride. They have the Jurassic ride. Mm-hmm. They have the Spider-Man ride.
What if it's Mario Kart?
What?
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Mario Kart the ride?
Oh, I'm sure.
I can't buy my ticket fast
enough. Regular Toad's Wild Ride. Yeah, it could happen.
Regular Toad's Wild Ride.
All right, well, that being said, what characters do you think deserve a ride? I could tell you which ones are likely to get a ride, but what Nintendo properties? Mm-hmm.
Like
they'll probably have, like, Super Smash Brothers Cafe and, like, things like that, but...
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, like, Mario and Zelda will get rides, because they're the flagship guys. But if we're going to go for, like, a left fielder
Sometimes they do left field. For example, when Marvel did their rides at Universal, you had a Hulk roller coaster, you had the Spider-Man ride, which was the big one,
mm-hmm.
and you had a Doctor Doom-themed freefall ride.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there was the cafe thing was, like, X-Men.
Right.
So yeah. Doctor Doom's your left field one for that. Mm-hmm. I don't even think the movie's
But he's, like, punishing you. He's dropping you.
Right.
He's like,
fall!
Yeah, he needs your fear to power a Doom device or something. Oh, yeah, it was terrible. But the ride was good. Mm-hmm. Samus, I would say. Metroid.
Yeah.
Would be a cool
Metroid.
Ride.
A Metroid
or
ride
Cafe.
Really
Cafe.
Cool.
Metroid Cafe.
Metroid Cafe. You're sitting on Metroid stools.
Mm-hmm.
No, they have to do toadstools.
Toads? Yes.
Stop
I mean,
it.
So, logically.
So obv.
Stop.
I would say most things that appear in Smash Brothers that are mm-hmm. Nintendo and not mm-hmm. Capcom seem a little more likely. But the fact that, you know, like Mega Man can appear in Smash Brothers and things like that, who knows?
Yeah, who
sure.
knows?
So.
That'd be
I want
great.
A Little Mac ride. Punch out.
Oh, yeah.
I thought about... I said punch out in my head. Didn't say that loud.
Only if Mike Tyson's in it.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson at the end of the ride.
You have to punch him.
Yeah.
Or he'll punch you.
If you're lucky, he'll punch
you.
You
win if he punches you.
That's all, yeah. That's all he does.
He punches you.
I want the Mike Tyson ride.
You want a giant? You want a giant stuffed animal? All right, don't move.
You either get a stuffed animal or a lawsuit. To the ride.
You have to sign a waiver to go on the ride.
Yeah.
You might get punched in the face.
The laws don't apply on the Mike Tyson ride. Wow. Okay.
Well, that's it for the news.
All right. Good times.
That was good news.
It was good news.
Surprisingly, because there's like virtually no actual comic news.
Yeah, but...
All right. Well, speaking of comics, review time.
Wait. Leander's been in hibernation until the review's got here. He's like, I don't care about this Nintendo crap. And like, I don't care about Universal Studios or Joss Whedon. Who's that? I want to talk about the book I read.
Well, let's
talk, waiting here.
Let's talk about the book. Well,
who reads his dumb magic script? Wait,
no, it's not dumb.
It's like there's two of me.
It is all like right. We're two.
All right, well, what book we're talking about, of course, we're talking about Secret Wars. Did you guys read the Zero issue?
No.
No.
All right, well, so. I'll do the Zero issue real quick, and then we all read issue one, so we can talk about that. Zero issue was the Free Comic Book Day issue, and all it is it's half Secret Wars and half the preview to the Attack on Titan Marvel crossover that is happening. Apparently. Attack on Titan, huge anime/manga. I've heard it's good. I've never watched it. After reading this, I have no interest in it because it's kind of terrible.
Okay.
I couldn't care less about this. I know people were excited for it.
Sure.
And I'm sure Attack on Titan's fine, but this is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
And just pandering to the crowd.
Sure.
But you would love this because it's all about the Future Foundation.
Woohoo!
And it's basically... Valeria Richards just being like, hey, we're all screwed. 4 days, we're all gonna die. So, you know, I've had you all building different things.
Uh-huh.
It's about time I told you what they're going to be when we put them all together. And they're like, it's a lifeboat. We know. We're all gonna die. Basically, she's been having them build the lifeboat that Reed Richards and Black Panther are going to attempt to use in issue one.
So, yeah.
Because they know the world, they've done everything they can. The Illuminati, they talk more about the Illuminati in here, trying to stop this. They knew this was coming, and they were trying to deflect it, to change it. And it references all kinds of different things, Infinity, all these different events, because Hickman writes, you know, he has a 10-year plan on all his stories, I feel. Lou, you were in for a lot of Hickman. Sure. So you could definitely...
I'm sure that there's going to be references to in Secret Wars to the stuff that he first did in this first Fantastic Four run.
Probably. So, basically, it ends with part of what starts in issue one, where the Ultimate Universe is kind of coming through the portal kind of thing, where they're merging, and everybody's about to go fight. So that's how that preview ends. But it gives you a lot of detail on the lifeboat, because you don't get a ton of detail on the lifeboat in issue one.
You don't.
So that being said, you guys want to talk about issue one?
Sure.
Yeah, no, go.
Me?
Oh, yeah, talk. Yeah.
Okay, jeez. Great. Whoa, everyone calm the hell down.
Come on, man! Man.
All right, fine. Secret Wars, number one. I hated it.
Okay.
Huh.
Yeah.
Lou, what did you think?
Well, I mean, I don't, you know.
No, that was it.
No.
That's it?
That's
just deadpan?
All right. Jeez, fine. If you guys want me to talk about it. So the reason that I didn't like it is because it was too scattered. It was just scattered. It was just a bunch of information thrown in one book, and then you don't know what's going on. The writers did a horrible job, I feel, of, like, bringing the dialogue together. I didn't... It was very loose. Like, for instance, there's a scene where the Hulk is thrown into a building, and then all of a sudden She-Hulk makes a line that doesn't make any sense to me. It just kind of just came out of nowhere. She made this line of like, I asked for a roller coaster and I got it. Like, it didn't make it. It was so weird, the comment. And then in general, it was a bunch of random characters and random ideas that if you didn't have like 5 years of background, you wouldn't know what they were talking about. It's just people were everywhere. Just random people were just everywhere doing stuff. And it just didn't, there was no flow. There was no flow to me. All of a sudden now, everything just ended. They just didn't do a good job with the build-up. I think that Marvel did a horrible job of building up Secret Wars. They didn't do a good enough job of tying in all the other titles into the Secret Wars. It just kind of happened. And so if you didn't know about it, you're screwed. Because now you're reading it and you're like, what is going on? I have no idea.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Lou, you read a lot of Hickman stuff, so what do you feel?
Well, I have read a lot of Hickman stuff. I have been out of Marvel. Like, the last Marvel thing I've really read that had to do with superheroes was... Who killed the Watcher?
Original Sin.
Original Sin. That was the last time I was really reading heavily in the Marvel. So, I don't know. I hadn't seen a lot of the build-up, and I think Lander makes some fair points, but... I have the opposite feeling about this because, like, you're right. But this is, as far as the scatteredness and the characters, but that's what every Marvel event is. So at this point, having been reading Marvel crossover events since, you know, I was a sixth grader, I am used to the, this is it, everyone's here type of, you know, cast of characters where it's just a big fight. Siege was like that. You know, it just starts with a big fight. But the thing that is cool with this book is this is issue one. And issue one, the big fight that ends the world. And even though, like, I haven't been reading the build-up or anything, like, I just, you know, I'm gathering, this is the big fight at the end of time. You know, and that's issue one, which means that's how the story starts. So I don't think that we're going to see... How many issues is this? Eight?
I think it's eight.
I don't think we're not going to see eight issues of, you know... ensemble cast battles. You know, this is kind of like the catalyst for, and I guess I won't spoil it, but the characters that make it out, that's where the actual story is going to come in. And I feel like that's going to be some good storytelling. But taking this book for what it was, with no context clues, it kind of got me in the feels. Like, and I hope, like, if they're really being ballsy with this, like, if this is really... like the end of these continuities, then that's some heavy stuff. And it's like all your the gang's all there, and you get a couple panels of each of them, like just at their big last stand. I don't know. Maybe I'm a sucker for the big epic last battle, but I agree with what you're saying. Is that, yeah, it's disjointed and it's not a flow, but I feel like this is just like the starting point for the story, not the culmination of the story. And so I'm okay with it, and I actually liked it.
I like the choice of villain, which the villain is ultimately looks like going to be Reed Richards.
Ultimate Reed Richards.
Mm-hmm. Which I like. I liked that Thanos was in the background there, like, dude, you probably shouldn't do this. He's like, yeah. Kinda, when Thanos is telling you that what you're doing is probably not a good idea, that's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked the banter between Thanos and him. Doom seems important, but it's not really revealed here how. There's a lot of setup. A ton of setup. And I don't even know that every character that got squeezed into this book is even relevant. But I did love Ultimate Reed Richards being kind of like the... You don't even know what he's really trying to get to. You just know he's lying to everybody blatantly.
Yeah.
Because of his interaction with Thanos in those panels. You know already, like, okay, he's a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he's making up atoning. No, he's still a scumbag.
Right.
So, I like that. I like evil Reed Richards. So, I was enjoying the book. It was a weird setup. I do agree with that, but... I'm used to Hickman writing. I just know going in that that's how it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I think of the background as, like, I know his style, and I also know what the big crossovers in Marvel are like, so...
And generally, there's always a payoff with him. He's really not letting me down. So. Hmm. Until he does, reminder.
If I think to a title that I liked, a big crossover that I enjoyed, I think of Onslaught. That was a great... like, big event in Marvel for me.
The back-in-the-day Onslaught?
Yeah, the back-in-the-day Onslaught. Because every title was involved in that. And so when it all culminated, no one was shocked. Like, oh, I'm so confused as to what's going on. Because every title had some tie-in to Onslaught before the big battle began.
But in response to that... a lot of people don't like it when they have to buy 75 books to read a whole story.
Yeah.
I don't think they did it. I don't think
that wasn't as bad.
Yeah,
as
because like
Executioner instance, song or something.
Right, right. You knew it was going. Something was going down because something was happening to your character in that big world. Like Spider-Man didn't know per se that Onslaught was going on, even though Spider-Man was probably one of the best stories in Onslaught, because of the old Spider-Man and the new Spider-Man were in the same issue together, and the old Spider-Man was losing his powers, but helped the new Spider-Man fight off the Sentinels. So even though they weren't like directly tied to Onslaught, it was one of the best, most emotional stories that Spider-Man's probably, you know, one of the top ones that they've come out with. And it came because it was tied in to Onslaught. This, I'm just reading it now, and all the Marvel titles that I've read had nothing to do with Secret Wars. And I read a lot of Marvel.
That's true. This is just like dumping you in blind.
It's just, you dumped it.
And if you didn't get the free comic book day issue, it's even worse.
And not only are you dumped in, you're dumped in to the end. Like, everything's ending, but no one talked about it in any other Marvel title.
Well, I guess if you... like, we've been talking about the build-up to Secret Wars on the show, so I guess if I'm, like, a first-time fan and I was like, this is the new event going on here, I guess I would kind of be like, what the hell?
Right.
The multiverse is dying.
Right.
Only two universes remain. Today, Earths collide. Like, what? Right. Chica, what?
Right. There's a lot going on.
So, yeah, I guess if you're completely out of the loop in Marvel and you just pick up this book, you're going to be like... and maybe, like, they haven't really done anything with the Ultimate Universe in years. So, if you're a fan who isn't familiar that there is an Ultimate Universe...
right. Exactly.
Then this one page cast of characters thing where it says the Ultimate Universe of Earth 2012, this has no meaning.
Yeah, it has none at all.
But let's be honest, if you're reading comics, you probably know something about
you've heard
stuff,
whispers of it at the very least.
I don't know. Yeah. So there's solid points either way.
Yeah. I agree. The feels are there. I mean, the times when they wanted you to feel something, you felt it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if this is your first issue or not. You are boo-hoo crying, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
The regular Reed Richards moment had hit me in the feels.
Oh, yeah.
Big where time. He looks like he lost some fingertips, maybe, at that one point.
I didn't see
Did you
it.
Notice that?
It's in that one.
That's in this one.
Yeah, there's a...
oh, yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, right there. Oh, I didn't notice that. Well, spoiler. Spoiler. We might lose some fingers. If that's the worst thing that happens in this book, we got off easy. That's like getting punched in the face on the Mike Tyson ride.
Yeah.
That's all that happens.
Compared to what happened to him, yeah. Fingertips are nothing.
Yeah. I don't understand, and this isn't a spoiler, but I don't understand why the Ultimate Universe has a fleet of ships and the regular universe doesn't. Did the Ultimate Universe just, like, spend more time building of ships at some point that they just have ready? Like, their shield, their version of shield just was like, have, like, a thousand helicarriers, yeah. Guys. I don't know what the shield over here was doing. Nick Fury's on the moon as a robot or whatever. He wasn't building enough super invasion ships.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not really explained.
Yeah. I do like the completely random Punisher section.
Yes, yes. I forgot about that.
Completely random Punisher section.
Yeah.
But it was good.
So there's, I don't know. It might be worth reading this book just to see if you like it.
Yeah, I agree. Everyone should read it just to see how you feel about it.
But I think it's going to be some really interesting stuff going on. And that's why I'm going to add it to my pull bin.
Nice.
You heard it here first.
Oh, snap.
Mm-hmm. So I don't have to read it. You can keep us in the loop?
Pretty much.
Sweet.
Yeah, I wasn't going to read it.
You're both going to read it. You know you're both going to read it.
I was probably going to read it.
I didn't hate it.
Definitely going to read it. You're not going to read it.
It's one of those things where, like, even if I hate it, let's say this is awful and I hate it like I hated Axis. At the end of it, though, it might be all the setup I need to, now I do love Marvel. Look what they did. Maybe I'll love it. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I have to go through this roller coaster ride.
Right.
The She-Hulk roller coaster ride here. To get to the end to figure out if I give a crap about Marvel.
Moon Knight leads X-Men.
Sure, why not? He's secretly a mutant. When the moon comes out, he gains the ability to shoot laser beams.
Sounds good. Don't stop. Keep going.
Laser beams out of his fingertips.
And his moonerangs.
Moonerangs.
Yep.
And his hair's pure silver and whatever the hell.
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah.
And, oh, jeez.
No, that's it.
Well, that was a good review, guys, all together.
Yeah, we did it together. Mm-hmm.
We did it!
Yay!
Yay!
I hope that got picked up on everyone heard that. That would be awesome.
Well, I could edit it out, but I won't.
No.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for listening. Make sure you like us on iTunes and Facebook and all that kind of stuff. Talk to us on social media. We'll talk to you. Gary_Krakauer. Get back at me. You can have a one-on-one with Lou.
Yeah.
He would love nothing more than to challenge you in an 80s style montage.
It will be awesome.
It's true.
And epic.
For there is no easy way out. That's how you end it.
Bye.
This, the 4th of July. No one told me. What's she gonna do? Hit me with her diaper?
I'll show you, you overgrown trash can!